To say the word snark, you need to scrunch up your nose and maybe even sneer a little bit, the way you might when you're being snarky.
That's what they say. Anybody who reads the online comment section on news stories knows exactly what snark is because there's plenty to go around. But snark has been around a while, hasn't it?
It has. But I agree with you. It's now you hear it everywhere. So I was a little surprised to see how old it is. The verb snark goes back to the 19th century, and it originally meant to snore or to snort. And I think the snorting meaning is important in terms of the meaning it now has in terms of being snarky. So over time, the verb snark, through metaphorical extension, came to mean to find fault with someone or something or to nag them, that you're snarking. And I think from there, we can see how the adjective snarky, which first shows up in 1906, starts to mean being mean to someone, sort of going after their faults.
And this one has actually benefited from the internet. Is that correct?
From what I can tell. So because we're hearing it so often, I thought, let me do a little research on this. I went into the Corpus of Contemporary American English, which tracks English from 1990 to 2012. And I looked up snarky. And snarky, not much action. And then 2000, it just takes off. And in 2012, it was 10 times more common than it was in 2000.
Doesn't snark sound like an animal?
Well, it does, and I think that might be because Lewis Carroll wrote The Hunting of the Snark. Mm-hmm. But from what we can tell, it's unrelated, but who knows exactly what Lewis Carroll had in mind when he hunted the snark.
So, Anne, a lot of these slangy words are really kind of fun to say, right?
They are. It's one of the things about slang. Slang can be rebellious. It's also really fun. And we see some of the fun in rhyming, so current slang, things like boob tube or nitwit or tidy whities. But there's a long history of that, and many people are interested in Cockney rhyming slang, which goes back to the mid-19th century East End of London. And this was a secret language where you could talk about things without people knowing what you were talking about it, and you did it through rhyme. So with an example will help. So trouble and strife was a way to talk about wife. So you'd create a rhyming expression in which the second word rhymed with the thing you were talking about. Bacon and eggs referred to legs. Apples and pears referred to stairs. Now, this can feel a little arcane. We say, well, that doesn't have any effect on us. But why do we call money bread? Well, because in Cockney rhyming slang, it's bread and honey. And sometimes to refer to money. And then what would sometimes happen to make it even more secret is you would chop off the rhyming word. So bread and honey would just become bread to refer to money.
And is bee's knees along that line as well?
Well, bee's knees is just a great piece of rhyming slang. And when it first shows up, 1797, it refers to something insignificant, like the knee of a bee. But because slang sometimes likes to turn things around and make a bad thing good, by 1920s, the bee's knees referred to something great.
Well, this has just been a regular hodgepodge. Thanks, Anne.
Thanks, Rena.